First of all, we welcome our new deacon, Deacon Jeff Ellis, who's studying at Mount St. Mary's. He's in his fourth year of theology, and God willing, will be ordained a priest this coming June for the Diocese of Norwich, Connecticut. The interesting part is that the good deacon, at one time in his earlier career life, lived in our area and even attended Mass at Holy Potomac Falls High School and even here before receiving God's call. So it's sort of like, in a way, a return to home, even though in the end we do not get to keep him, but he goes back to that far-off country of Massachusetts somewhere. So, be that as it may. On May the 7th, 1824, Ludwig von Beethoven premiered his Ninth Symphony. This was his last complete symphony that he wrote. The innovation was that chorus was added to the orchestra. Beethoven became very famous because he took Max Schiller's Ode to Joy and put that to music. As a matter of fact, we sang that at the beginning of our Mass. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee. The first violinist after the concert, Joseph Böhm, remarked, "Beethoven directed the piece himself. That is, he stood before the lectern and gesticulated furiously. At times he rose, at other times he shrank to the ground. He moved as if he wanted to play all the instruments himself and sing for the whole chorus." At the very end of the symphony, the whole audience stood up and jubilantly applauded and cheered. Beethoven turned around to face the audience because he was deaf. He could not hear. At that point of his life, he had composed that whole symphony and conducted it totally deaf. The miraculous part is, in his genius, he could hear that music in his soul, and he could compose that. And despite not having the outside world to listen to, he produced this great work of art. Well, my brothers and sisters, keep this in mind, because within our soul, we should be able to hear the voice of God. This is the point of our gospel today. Jesus has cured a man who is deaf and also mute. He says, "Ephatha," and the man's ears and lips are opened. We've received that same miracle. Yes, when we were baptized, of course, by the power of the Holy Spirit, the invocation of the whole Trinity, and the pouring of water, we became a child of God, filled with sanctifying grace. Shortly after that baptism, the priest performed a prayer that we call simply the Ephatha. He blessed our ears and our lips, and he said, "The Lord Jesus made the deaf hear and the dumb speak. May he soon touch your ears to receive his word and your mouth to proclaim his faith to the praise and glory of God the Father." So the challenge for us then is to keep these ears, first of all, always open to God. In a sense, we have to plug our ears to all the noise that surrounds us and listen to God in the quiet of our hearts. This is why so oftentimes you've heard me and the other priests say, take 10 to 15 minutes each day for prayer. Take the 15 minutes to do spiritual reading, to study the faith. We need to dedicate that time so that the voice of God can penetrate. Yes, when we pray, oftentimes we're doing much of the talking, whether it's our formal prayers or just letting our hearts be poured forth. We also need time to listen to God's response in the quiet. During our time of spiritual reading, we should not forget, this is God speaking to us. When we read sacred scripture, we are hearing the living word of God. When we read the catechism, we are hearing the living truths that we profess as Catholics. When we read the lives of the saints, we're looking at those living witnesses of faith who give us that encouragement and who are in heaven interceding for us. In all, then, we have to open up our ears to hear God. Part of this openness, though, also involves being docile to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will move us. And when we hear God's word, when we ponder that word, as we pray, we'll have inspirations. Inspirations from the Holy Spirit that might say a word of comfort to us when we're going through a struggle. Or maybe it's a word of challenge, meaning that we have to overcome a temptation. But the Holy Spirit will move us if we take that time to listen. We need to open our ears to hear God. Only then, as we live our day out life, then we can hear that presence, have that presence, hear that voice as we continue on. The voice of the Good Shepherd who leads us. This is important because as a priest, I really fear we're all becoming deaf because of the world in which we live in. You all know that we have the cell phones with the Instagrams, the text messages, the Twitters with the twits and the tweets and so on, and all these other things. The Kaiser Family Foundation did some research on what they called the M2 generation, meaning those kids between 8 and 18 right now. And they found that children of that age spend 6.5 to 7.5 hours on electronics each day. Adults spend 11 hours on electronics each day. When do we listen to anything else? So if this is all we have, no wonder we're becoming a very isolated society. Yes, people are connected through electronics, but they've lost the connection with God, with each other, even within a family, and even with themselves. No wonder people no longer hear the word of God, but their minds have become brainwashed with just what is ever the popular culture, whatever is the current political ideology. Too many Christians have abandoned the gospel of Jesus and picked up the gospel of political correctness. We need to close our ears and allow God to speak in our hearts, because only then can our lips proclaim the faith. And that's what we're called to do. Jesus needs our lips to proclaim the faith to others. So yes, we can do that, and hopefully you all look for those opportunities when you can just talk about how important your faith is, how good it is to belong to a church and worship in that church, how important your Catholic faith is, and how Christ has made a difference in your life. Look for those opportunities. But then we also think of those interactions or even interventions that we're called to have. Again, prompted by the Holy Spirit. Pope Francis has set this coming year as the year of mercy. Well, the seven spiritual works of mercy all involve this mouth. In that, you and I, with the Holy Spirit's help, being merciful, need to give the word of comfort and consolation to those who are sorrowing or going through some difficulty, the word of correction to someone we see going astray and headed down a path maybe to destruction, the word of forgiveness to someone who has hurt us, or to ask for forgiveness when we have hurt someone, to give good counsel to someone who's doubtful and struggling in a situation, counsel that is faith-based, true to the Word of God, counsel, to pray with and for other people, all with our mouth. But the only way we can use this mouth to praise God and our faith is if first we've opened our ears to Him. And we hear His voice in our hearts. For example, this week actually we had a great opportunity to talk about our faith. And part of it is Pope Francis's fault because he's got everyone confused. You may have heard on the media how they reported that Pope Francis gave priests the permission to absolve the sin of abortion, to forgive that sin. And some of the news reporters, like David Muir on Channel 7, made it seem like this was some unforgivable sin, and now good old Pope Francis is saying, now it can be forgiven. Wrong. We've always been able to forgive that sin. And any sin, when a person is truly contrite and repentant. But there are some sins that are so grievous that they involve an automatic penalty of excommunication. And that is to shock a person to repentance, but it takes the bishop to lift the penalty. For instance, if someone desecrated the Holy Eucharist, meaning received the Holy Eucharist and threw the host in the trash, or used it for a satanic black mass, and then that person comes to me and asks with a contrite heart to be forgiven, I would have to say, you have to wait. You'll have to meet me next week, same time, same place. But I have to ask permission from the bishop to absolve you because this is such a grievous sin and involves the penalty of excommunication. Of course, in referring the matter to the bishop, I don't reveal the identity of the person. But the same with abortion. But with abortion, because it's so grievous of a sin, the bishop does have that authority to release a person from the excommunication. But in our diocese, ever since I've been a priest for 31 years, the bishop has allowed priests to lift that pain of excommunication and absolve the sin. I don't have to contact the bishop. But on a second instance, so if the person committed the sin again, I would. So Pope Francis is simply opening up a privilege that we've enjoyed. But keep in mind here, this is an opportunity for us to clarify the issue, not only with maybe family members, but people who aren't Catholic, and talk to them about the goodness of the sacrament of penance, that we do have a sacrament that Christ instituted that does forgive and bring healing graces. This is an opportunity to talk about the sanctity of human life and how we should cherish that. And it's also an opportunity to show that the Church has a moral authority, but also a very merciful moral authority. And so a good opportunity for us to talk about our faith. But we need also to be informed about our faith. But here is where you parents come in. If anyone has a sacred obligation to talk about the faith, it is you parents. You're the ones entrusted with the souls of your children. And so you need to pray with them. You need to teach them the faith. Remember, religious education classes soon start. Our schools has started, but you need to be with your children at home and teach them the faith. You need to discuss the moral issues. You need to talk about the importance of church and our Catholic faith so that they grow up with a clear identity and they can be hearing the voice of the Good Shepherd. I admit to you that when I went off to college for the first time, there were many temptations. I'm on my own. A lot of freedom. But at times, the voice of not only our dear Lord, but the voice of my parents resounded in my heart so that I did not make some very serious mistakes. Thank God. You need to give your children that same voice. So my brothers and sisters, Beethoven, although deaf to the world, had this music flowing through his whole being. Well, you and I need to have the voice of our Lord flowing through our very being, with our lips. We need to give praise to God and proclaim, as our Blessed Mother did, the greatness of God. Because in the end, we aren't looking for applause in this world. We're looking for the applause of all those saints and angels who will welcome us to the kingdom of heaven. May God bless you.